Dear friends in Christ, it is amazing how much power and wealth are accumulated by a few great rulers on this earth. We think of King Xerxes of Persia, or Herod the Great of Palestine, or in more modern times, Adolf Hitler of Germany, Mao Zedong of China. These people had great armies that did their bidding. Innocent persons were put to death in the thousands. They had sufficient resources to pay off the people under their control so that they could do just about whatever they pleased. Among those great rulers, we must also list Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. In fact, God himself said that the great Persian Empire that came after his was inferior to his. Nebuchadnezzar was the man responsible for building the so-called Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The Almighty God, the God of Israel, took a special interest in Nebuchadnezzar because Nebuchadnezzar had taken God's people of Israel captive. And thus to the world it would seem as though Nebuchadnezzar was more powerful than God himself. But through Daniel the prophet, God told Nebuchadnezzar that he would be cut down. It would be like the chopping down of a mighty tree. And then Nebuchadnezzar would behave like an animal, walking around on all fours and eating grass like an ox. Daniel advised him that perhaps he could delay this judgment of God by curtailing his sins and showing mercy to the poor. And for about a year, nothing happened. I suppose Nebuchadnezzar had almost begun to forget that dream of the chopping down of the tree and Daniel's interpretation. But then suddenly, judgment struck. We read in Daniel chapter 4, at the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" The great king was obviously full of himself. He was giving himself credit for all his accomplishments, for his building projects, for his power, for his majesty. And surely many of the great men on this earth have thought the same way, giving themselves credit for all the things that they have done. And even we, who certainly are not that great, nevertheless, we like to give ourselves credit too for all of our accomplishments. But God was listening to what the king said, even as he listens to all of the things that we say. In fact, he even listens into the thoughts of our hearts, and he knows the pride in our thoughts. And in Nebuchadnezzar's case, it was time for God to bring out that judgment, to do what he had said he would do. And so we read, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses.'" And just like that, Nebuchadnezzar's life changed. He became like an animal. The Bible says he ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. The great king lost his reason. He was stricken with a form of insanity that made him behave like an animal. And it seems this continued for 7 whole years, as Daniel had said. But even then, God was merciful to Nebuchadnezzar. The people in charge in Babylon did not take the kingdom away from him. They saved it for him. He was not totally removed from his position. And in time, his sanity was restored. And then he made a wonderful confession. These are the words he said, as recorded in the book of Daniel. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. My reason returned to me, and my honor and splendor returned to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. I suppose many kings would have tried to conceal such an episode in their lives, but Nebuchadnezzar made a public proclamation directed to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. These are the last words we hear from Nebuchadnezzar on the pages of Scripture. Did he finally learn his lesson? It seems that he did finally learn that there is one holy, almighty God who has power over all kings of the earth and can do what he pleases. Could Nebuchadnezzar also perhaps have heard something even more wonderful about God? Could he perhaps have heard that a great king is coming, the Messiah, the Israel, who would save his people from their greatest enemy, the devil, and conquer that enemy by taking sins upon himself, the sins of the people, the sins of pride included, and suffer and die for them? Well, we don't know that for sure. But this much we do know, that it's not only necessary for us to regard God as a God of almighty power who can do all things, but it is also necessary for us to know what this God has done for us in his mercy towards sinners, that he forgives our sins for the sake of Christ's sake, that he forgives our sins of pride and when we are full of ourselves, and he does that for Jesus' sake. Let us sing hymn number 26, stanzas 4 and 5. 26, 4 and 5.